Hi, everyone. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to give you all a quick update. I am starting to work with some partners to support Life Intended and my vision for what it can be for you. And part of creating these new partnerships is going to include sharing products and services in my episodes, on my social channels, and on my website. And I want you to know that I take this part of the next chapter of Life Intended very seriously. And I promise that I'm only going to introduce brands and products to you that align with my mission, with what you all are looking for while you're here and listening to me, brands and products that I trust, that I know, that I use, and that I love myself. I promise. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I know that you're not here for websites or for payment integration services. So I promise you, these are going to be products that you will love and that I think that you will love using and that will benefit you. So like everything that you can expect from me, these are authentic endorsements, and they align with you, the audience, and while you're listening, and my mission to help you live a more authentic and intentional life, and expanding that into wellness, holistic living, mind, body, and spirit. So with that said, I'm thrilled to introduce a brand new partner for Life Intended, Bon Charge. That's B as in boy, B-O-N, Charge. Now, if you're a regular listener here, you know how passionate I am about living life with intention, prioritizing your well-being, and making choices that bring peace and vitality into our everyday routines. Bon Charge aligns so well with these values, and their mission really resonates with me. Bon Charge offers all kinds of wellness-driven products that are all about enhancing your natural energy and supporting your body's health, whether it's through better sleep, optimized light exposure, or boosting recovery. One product that I love and I use a lot is their blue light blocking glasses. So I don't know about you, but I spend so much of my time looking at screens, whether it's my computer, my phone, trying to cut down on that. Everybody knows that. For work, you know, connecting with loved ones, whatever. And their glasses help minimize the effects of screen exposure so that come bedtime, you are more ready for a truly restful night's sleep. So I wear these a lot during the day, but very much at night if I'm looking at a screen or reading or doing anything like that, prepares you for a really restful night of sleep. Another really amazing product that they have, and I know that a lot of people are now using products like this, is their red light therapy face mask. So the mask uses gentle, therapeutic red light to support your skin health, helping with everything from reducing fine lines to enhancing that natural glow that you have. Another thing that I like about this is that you can use it while you're doing something else. So you can use it while you're reading, while you're listening to a podcast, while you're doing something where you'd be sitting down, maybe even a little bit of while you're getting ready in the morning. So if you're looking for something that's easy to integrate into your skincare routine or morning routine that you already have, this mask is a simple way to do that and nurture your skin. They also have so many more wellness products. Red light therapy is great for inflammation, recovery, healing, all kinds of things. And they've got a product literally for everything. And if you're like me and you're always on the lookout for natural, science-backed ways to feel and function your best, you will appreciate the thoughtfulness that Bon Charge puts into each of their products. They're crafted to not only fit into our busy lives, but also enhance the intention and energy we bring into each day. I genuinely believe Bon Charge's products can help support the lifestyle we are all striving for, one where rest and renewal are accessible and integrated into our days. So I put the link in the show notes. I'm also going to be creating a page on my website with my new partners, so you'll be able to go there soon and find everyone. But you can use that link and combine that with the code LIFEINTENDED, all caps, and you can use that code to save 15% store-wide. So that's code LIFEINTENDED. Again, the link is in the show notes. It'll be on my website, and I'll let you all know that soon. But I think that you will find something there to support your own journey toward a balanced and energized and intentional life. So thank you for allowing me to bring these products and services to you, and I hope that you will find them as valuable as I do. Now, on to today's episode.
What if I make a mistake? So the limiting belief is like there's a right and there's a wrong, right? And if you're holding on to that binary belief about life, black and white thinking, you're probably thinking about it a lot of areas of your life. You know, your partner is all good or all bad. Your kids are good or they're all bad. Your boss is a jerk or amazing. We're just like, because our brains are meaning making things, and it's really hard to live in shades of gray and be curious. So one thing is like, what if I adopted this belief that there were no mistakes, that everything that's happening is happening for me, not to me. So getting out of that, what I call like a victim thinking.
Hi friends, you're listening to Life Intended, a podcast that explores what it means to be true to yourself and live an authentic and purposeful life. I'm your host, Kelly Berry, and each episode of Life Intended explores my guest's version of personal growth, self-discovery, and the pursuit of becoming the best version of themselves. Our conversations are designed so that you can take what you need and incorporate it into your life to live with more intention and authenticity. Whether you're seeking to develop your leadership skills, overcome challenges, or simply live a more fulfilling life, you will find guidance, motivation, and practical strategies to help you navigate your unique journey. Today, I have an incredible guest, Marnie Batista. Marnie and I share what I think are similar purposes and missions, and I really just love her approach, her method, and her message, and I know that you will too. Marnie is an entrepreneur, author, transformational life design specialist, podcast host, and radical truth seeker. Her honest, relatable, and down-to-earth podcast and writing drops pearls of wisdom that not only inspires laughter and insights, but shares radical, life-changing stories of triumph and love. She's on a mission to help women harness the courage to stop letting life live them and start living a life that is beyond their wildest dreams. Marnie and her work have appeared in the LA Times and the New Yorker, the Dr. Phil Show, On Air with Ryan Seacrest, and Home and Family TV. Her new book, Your Radical Living Challenge, 7 Questions for a Meaningful Life, is coming in early 2025 from Hay House. Hi, Marnie. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here today.
I'm so happy to be here.
Congratulations on the upcoming book.
Thank you. It's been a spiritual experience for sure.
I bet. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Tell us more about who you are, what you do, who you work with, and just more about how you impact women.
Well, I always have believed that I was put here to sort of teach what I had to learn, So I always tell my clients, you know, like, it looks like I'm like, got it together, but I'm 10% ahead of you. That's really it. Cause I feel like when you're living life, when you're trying to be a radical truth seeker, there's always what I call new level, new devil. I used to be a nursery school teacher. I had an idea for a book. It was a different book. I'd just been divorced. I was married for 17 years. I had 3 small kids and I was dating, and I was like, this is crazy. So I had a girlfriend of mine, we decided to write this book. And so we put it all together, and I did get an agent for it. And they were overwhelmingly loved the idea, but they're like, you don't have a platform. And I was like, what is that? Is that a shoot? Like, I don't know what you're talking about, because I was a nursery school teacher. And I learned that, you know, I needed an audience or whatever that was. But what was crazy was in that moment, instead of believing like, oh, well, that's not going to happen for me, it was almost like this divine, gentle hand came down and said, this is exactly what you're meant to do. Like, you need to help people with their relationships and dating. And so that book idea turned into a business that I had for about 12 to 13 years in that form. And then life continues to happen. And I had a ski accident in early 2020, about 3 weeks before lockdown, before really, I didn't even know COVID existed at the time, really. It was February. And I ended up kind of flying through the air, landing on my back. And that moment, that singular moment, really changed the trajectory of my life forever. And it's what my book is about, is the journey that I went on as a result of that. But what's really beautiful is that my life has been a series of what I call the worst, best things that happened to me, have sort of realigned me and pointed me in the right direction of my soul's journey here. That's for the best. And that was one of them. And from that place, I ended up having a story to tell. I sold my house in Los Angeles after 25 years. lived in an RV for a year with my husband, traveling around the world, deciding what really does make me happy, what is a meaningful life, and put together another book proposal, sold that book, pivoted my business completely away from merely helping women date, because what I always was doing was helping them live a life beyond their dreams. They were staying with me mm-hmm. for years and years and years. And so it was like I had to step into the identity of the soul of my business and my own soul to really like kind of right size my life mm-hmm. to who I really am. That's it in a nutshell, Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. One thing that you just said that I've never heard it stated this way, but I love it, is new level, new devil. So my background is business coaching, and we've always said, you know, like the problems are never ending. You solve a problem and there's another problem around the corner. And I've always like carried that with me, because I believe that everybody needs a coach, that you need a guide, whether it's a mentor or a coach. And, you know, even the top performers, sports, business, everything, they all have coaches, because you just need somebody who is, like you described, 10% ahead of you, you know, like just can see the path a little clearer. But I think that, you know, a lot of times people can just get really hung up when they run into devil after devil after devil.
Yes.
They think that they get to a new level and they're pissed, you know, and they're like, why am I running up into this wall again? Or why is this new challenge in front of me? I thought I just worked so hard to get through it. So having that phrase, I think it's just really important, because you know, like you break through or something good happens, there's going to be always going to be that next problem to solve, that next challenge ahead. So that, I love the way you said that.
Yeah, I think that I was just talking to a client about that. Like the idea that when we get X, then all our problems will go away mm-hmm. is crap. And mm-hmm. despite intellectually, you can hear me say that and you're like, obviously. But like there's a part of us that really, really believes that, because we're so mm-hmm. used to climbing a ladder to nowhere, right? Like, oh, if I just go a little further, a little higher, you know, but the way our brains work, like the minute we get there, instead of going, look at this amazing view, we just look up and go, oh, crap, you know, I got to keep going and I have to deal with this thing. And that is life. That is life. So the sooner that we can realize it, that it's not personal, there is no magic, you know, mm-hmm. when that occurs, that suddenly we're in bliss, then the happier we can be, because we can let go yeah. of the climb.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of that has to do too with, you know, our nature, but also what we see and what we perceive. We perceive that all of these people that we see on social media, or even maybe in our lives, you know, they've made it, they have it, they have no problems. Like their life is smooth and easy. And, you know, the reality is that it's just not, that they're experiencing things just like we are. They're probably different things, but everybody has their things, you know? And I think that can be really misleading, and also, you know, kind of dangerous if that's always what you're chasing. Yeah. So I have a lot
yeah,
of thoughts.
Yeah. I think that comparison despair is like a huge problem that's been made or exacerbated by social media. It's funny, when we're recording this, I think Mel Robbins is having a pre-sale for her book. She got invited to like have a contract with maybe like Sirius or XM. I don't know, whatever. I just glanced at it, right? But what I loved about her caption was like, it took 15 years to have this overnight success. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's so great for her and so exciting and inspiring. And when we look at our own journey, it's the lens that we're looking at life through. And so we get so attached to the drama and we forget mm-hmm. the facts.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk about, I think you mentioned one of the things that you help women with is ditching the should life.
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Yeah. Talk about that and what that means.
Well, you know, in my own story, and we're, it's like a great segue, right? Because we think that we should do a lot of things. We should look a lot a certain way. We should be here already. We should have done this. We should have achieved that. We, you know, you go to a restaurant and you order, you know, the burger and someone else has the chicken and you're like, I should have ordered the chicken. I'm dabbling. I'm not dabbling. I'm doing my first year of fantasy football. And I was having that conversation with someone just this morning. I was like, if I should have played so-and-so and that, so, then I would have, you know, I could have won. And it's like the should is just part of our like programming, right? And so what happens is that then we're not living life on our own terms. We're living life that is prescribed to us by whatever metrics. And even in the football, you know, analogy, which some of you may or may not appreciate, but it's like, yes, if the goal is to win, I could have played those other players and maybe I would have won. But if I just shift my metric to like, I'm learning a new thing and I, every week that I lose, I learn something really important about myself, mostly, yes, football, but mostly myself, then it's happening for me. And I'm already like, next year, I'm going to do this so differently, right? Because I was signed up to play a game that I didn't know the rules. And that is a great metaphor for life, because we think that we do know the rules and that if we play by them and we follow the shoulds, then we're going to be happy, per our last conversation. And actually, that's just not true, right? And so the rules that we live by, we have to first understand, like, they're not even ours. And if we start to question as a first step every assumption, then we start to become detached from the identity that has sort of been programmed into us. We stop being robots on autopilot and we start looking at everything and asking, is this what I really want or is this what I'm supposed to want?
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think that you and I are so aligned on. And one of the things, you know, I was living on autopilot. And I think I really just one day was like, what is going on? And I started to do some questioning, like, am I happy? Do I like this? Why am I doing this? So how does it work that women come to you? Do they come to you with this realization that they're living on autopilot? Do they come to you for another reason and you help them see that? What does that look like?
That's such a great question. You know, most people, well, it's, first of all, that's been a journey, right? Like when I was a dating coach only, it was like, that's your problem. Come to me, right? Mm-hmm. So when I decided that I wanted to realign my life, one of the first questions I had to ask myself is like, what's the problem that people have that they need the solution, right? Like what was my problem? And so the problem that most people have that when they come to me is that they're in a career, they're usually in midlife. The grinding energy that got them to where they are is like evaporating before their eyes. The runway to retirement is long. And they're like, how much longer can I do this? Do I even want to do this? Why am I doing this? Who am I? You know, like I'm just not happy. And I think that's the thing that is the biggest pain is that I think when we're younger, we learn that our feelings are not assets, they're pains in the ass, right? So we just sort of put them on the side and we just get cookies, metaphorical, right? Like validation for performing well and doing well and getting A's and getting the job and getting the husband or getting the whatever you think your shoulds are. And we work really, really hard because we're young. We think that if we do that, then we're going to get to this certain age and then it's going to be on autopilot and everything's going to be hunky-dory. And what happens is people get to that time, they have all this stuff and they're unhappy and they're like, oh crap, I was sold a lie. I don't even know what to do now. And that's a big problem. That was my problem. It was like, I had the business, you know, I had a certain amount of success. I had the husband, my kids were off and doing their thing. And I did break my back that like forced me to stop. And I would really encourage people to get help before the universe course corrects you, right? Like it doesn't have to be big and dramatic. You don't have to break your back. You don't have to sell your house. You don't have to live in an RV. You don't have to do any of those things, right? There's different ways we can live a radical life. And it can just be as simple as, you know, I had a client over the summer who came to me in that situation who left the corporate job to start her dream business as a consultant. She's like, I don't really like this. And this summer, she realized like what really matters is her new definition of success is spending as much time as she can with her kids before they go to college. And she worked really on like working part-time Mm-hmm. And not feeling guilty about it and spending mm-hmm. time with her kids and knowing what her financial numbers are and talking to her husband about those things and getting realistic about how much income she really does need to make or doesn't need to make and what's really a priority, right? And mm-hmm. that is a huge win, right? Is to mm-hmm. look back and be like, wow, I actually spent my time going to the games and going to the pool and taking the weekend trip with my almost teenage daughter and doing these things that before she never would have done because she believed that if you're not productive, you're not worthy. Mm-hmm. And realigning what success means to you as part of this journey is really what I do through these seven spiritual questions that I teach in my book that are really mm-hmm. a new way to define success that I think we all need to adopt.
So how different do you feel now, like on the other side of your big pivot and rebrand, how different do you feel now than you did like towards the end of your previous business?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I set myself up for so much stress, right? Stressors in my life, because I believed when I decided I wanted to be a coach, you know, I just found someone who's really successful. And I was like, that's what I want. I literally didn't even actually think about it. Do I really want that? What does that actually look like? Is that for me? I just literally, I picked the name Tony Robbins and I was like, that, you know? And I was like, okay, that's what I'm going for. And I just started following people, following the way everyone who was at a certain level of success was doing everything. I never want, this is like, it's embarrassing to say, especially you're a business coach, but I literally never stopped and looked like, is this what I want? Is this the right thing for me? Is this the really the right thing to do? Or is this just what everyone else is doing? Therefore it is right. I didn't trust myself also because I was a former nursery school teacher. So I was like, well, everyone else is smarter mm-hmm. than me. So I'm just going to do what everyone else tells me to do. And I'm going to spend a lot of money trying to find people to tell me what to do. Bad idea. So what happened was that I built this machine with a giant monthly nut, hiring all these people, doing less and less coaching, which is what I really, really love. And I, to blow that up, so to speak, took a series of steps, but ultimately I did have to press the button, you know, and let mm-hmm. the people go and decide I'm going to commit. And what's interesting about it, and this is an answer to your question, is when I was in the RV, so I sold my house, I made this decision, a lot of things led up to it, but still it was like a huge thing, obviously. And it was like a month in, it was raining all the time. It was like March or April. We were in like Kentucky, then we were in Tennessee, and it was just like the weather was so bad. And we went on this hike. And it was a part of the Appalachian Trail. And I was like, I'm no Cheryl Strayed, but I'm gonna walk on a famous trail. And I was walking on this trail and I got to this point and it's called the Newfound Gap. And on one side is Carolina, I think North Carolina, and the other side is Tennessee. And you can see both states from this one point. And I had this epiphany because I was so miserable that I kept comparing what I'd done to my old life. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that when you make a change, it's really hard to predict what's going to make you happy, even when you follow like steps and you experiment and you test and you make that commitment. My brain just kept going to the old way, you know, my mm-hmm. old identity, my old way of being. And I had made that the superlative, even though I wasn't really happy. And it hit me on that hike. I wasn't in any state. I was in the middle and I wasn't committed to really living life on my own terms and really diving into what my heart and soul had wanted, because my head was fighting and saying like, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? You know, the little inner critic. And I was like, I can't keep comparing this life to my old life. I have to jump into the new way mm-hmm. and be here 100%. And once I did that, everything changed. And in my business, I was like, you know, what's that Lucky Charm? Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids. You know, I was like, silly rabbit, like you're starting a new business. You have to actually start a new business. You can't just drag all the crap from your old business and try and like tell people like, no, no, this is who I am now. You actually have to start over. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to do it in a way in which I actually look at all those decisions that I made in the past. And now I have the opportunity to do it differently. I'm going to really create this business on my own terms. What does that look like? And it's been a crazy wild ride and so much fun. But the thing that's different is in this version, in the Marnie version today, is there is no set it and forget it. One of my like greatest strengths is I'm super creative, which means that if I let go of like, there's going to be the one magical way, I'm going to do that, then that'll be the way my business runs and I make millions and millions of dollars forever and ever. Nah, that's not me. That's not realistic. I'm like, cool. What do I want to do this month? What do I want to try next week? Everything is like, even things that I test or try, if they don't quote unquote work, I'm like, that sucks. But like in the end, like, great. What am I going to do next? What, how can I use that? So I'm really living my model on a daily basis of experimenting, assessing, adjusting, and continuing to iterate, because iteration is really the natural state. It's when we fight it that it becomes not fun. So yeah. I just am in creation mode, because creation gives us meaning because we're doing something.
Yeah, that is great. And, you know, for listeners who don't own a business or haven't been in business, it may be a little hard to relate to, but I think, Marnie, what you were just talking about is very, very hard. It is so hard to let go of things that you've done in the past, to let go of the way that you knew things to work, is even if they were working in a way that wasn't like fulfilling to you, they were still working. And so it's hard to stop doing something that you know is going to work to honor what you want. You know, that is just a really, really, really hard thing.
Exactly. And I see so many women in corporate, to speak to those people, right, who have been doing the thing, climbing the ladder, doing the thing. And then, right, that business or that organization changed. It gets bought by someone else. You have a new boss. You have a new CEO. You have a new leadership. And I see these women that I talk to that come to my office. They're like, oh God, like I have to prove myself all over again. And I'm like 44 or 54. I don't have it in me, and I don't care. Mm-hmm. And I don't even like what I do. It's not going to change any lives. Or I do love what I do, but this environment has changed and now I don't fit in it. Mm-hmm. And that's what breaks my heart is this. Well, I was sitting on a beach once talking to someone who was in that situation in an organization. And, she was like 52 and she was like, well, I only have to do this for like 10 more years. I can do it. And I was like, first of all, you're not even guaranteed that you get 10 more years. Mm-hmm. Second of all, don't let your fear get in the way of your biggest dream, even if your biggest dream is your biggest fear.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So how do you help people overcome those fears?
Well, that's a great question. And I really want people to know that there is a solution and a process. And that is when I was faced with, oh my gosh, I'm so happy, unhappy. I started Googling, like, I didn't even know what to Google. I was like, life transition, emptiness coach. Like, I was like getting a lot of stuff, like learn how to play pickleball, like, you know, let your kids go, whatever. Just, it wasn't telling me what to do. And so I finally came across, a couple of things. There was a book about life design that these two guys wrote. And I was like, this is really interesting. What's life design? When I got into the model, I realized that it was very much based on a design thinking model that was developed by Stanford University for product development. So it's like a model that was originally conceived to help product developers create products for consumers. And I looked at this book and I did some of the exercises and it was really great. But what I realized was that you can't think your way out of your thoughts. So if you have fear, just because you follow the structure, it doesn't mean that you're able to handle the inner work, which is to create a new identity to go with the new life that you're creating and to really start to dismantle those shoulds and break down all of those things that are your fears. And so this process that I put together is like, I say, I'm like a DJ, right? Like I took like the best of design thinking and the best of like, you know, somatic work and the best of spiritual work and consciousness and like DJ'd it together, right? To make this really great mashup of a life design process that walks people through the steps of what I call like the dream framework, which is dismantling all of the old identity and the shoulds, releasing those like once and for all, embracing the you who you really are, and really getting to know who you are through creating what I call your soul map, which is then like the direction for the rest of your life. And then getting into action and implementing and iterating and taking small steps through testing and experimenting. See what you like. And if you like it, test out your ideas. You don't need to like, you know, sell everything and run to Bali or quit your job and work at Starbucks. It's not about that, or do nothing. And then you get it to maintain this lifestyle, and then you're a creator in your life through the rest of your life. And if you look at someone who you know who's like in their 70s or their 80s and they're like really with it, and they're doing stuff and they're active, they're creating. They're not on autopilot. They're not sitting there waiting for life to happen in front of a television. And believe me, I love TV. But when you really approach this and you have a creator lifestyle and you start realigning success to these seven questions, then you are just really living your soul's journey in the most expressed way you can. And then life gets really, really fun when you stop doing it the way you think you're supposed to, because that's what's going to make you or other people happy.
Yeah. So two questions. One, have you read Big Magic?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm reading that right now, actually. But it's, you know, it talks about how we are all creators. And we were born that way. And even if you have to go back several generations, like you can go back in your family history and find people like that's what they used to do. They used to sit around and create things. And even if you think like not, you don't have it in you, you do. You just need to like access it.
Well, so this is a great point. I talk about this in my book because one of the seven questions is, what did you create? Because creating is a very meaningful and fulfilling thing. And so what I talked about is creation doesn't mean you're creative, like you like arts and crafts or, you know, or you always come up with like the fun idea. Creating is really, you can create new thoughts. You can create new questions. You can you can create ideas. You can create relationships. You can create connection. You can create a great conversation. We don't want to be passive in our life, and being in a place of creation, new community, new thoughts, new learning. I mean, it's just endless. It's endless. So everyone can create. It is not a genetic skill that says like, oh, look at my picture. Isn't it pretty?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think as I've kind of reflected on my own life and had a lot of conversations with people, I think that if you are feeling stuck, or if you're feeling burned out, and you know, I was specifically like extremely burned out, that one of the biggest aha moments I had was like, I haven't had an original idea in years. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't created anything. I haven't been creative. I haven't, you know, expressed anything really. And so I think that like, if that's something that you can like reflect on inwardly, and those are things that you're not doing, you're not having ideas, you're not excited about things, you're not creating any, you know, any of that long list of things that you mentioned, like that could be a really good signal to yourself that you're, you know, you're not living authentically, or you are burned out, or some kind of change probably needs to happen in your life to kind of wake up.
And we're living, and this is what I've been saying, I'm like everywhere I can. As women, for the women that are listening, like really, we've never had more agency in time. We've never had more power, really. I mean, yes, there's more to have, but like we've come a long way, right? And the good part about the technologies that we have are there are more ways to create than there ever have been, right? Like there's more tools, there's more resources, there's community. I went to a writing conference the other week, and I'm really looking at creating connection and community because I moved a couple of years ago here, but I was just having a conversation with someone about talking to a lot of parents of teenagers, and my kids are now in their mid 20s and late 20s. And so it's different, right? But I was talking about like resources and what's out there. And someone was just like, oh, where there's this great program in our community called Partners for Youth, and you can mentor a kid from 7 to 17. And I was like, And it just sang to me because I used to be a teacher and I love, you know, I loved being a mom. What I'm saying is if you get out and you start having creating conversation, creating connection, not for the sake of like your next thing, right? Because when you leave space and you're not attached to the outcome and you stop thinking so hard and you just start doing things that light you up and following that soul map, literally there's breadcrumbs everywhere. They're down there. You just have to look and start following them and lighten up, right? Like I love the title of that book, Big Magic, right? Because when you get in that space, that's where you're allowing the magic to come. And I know that's counterintuitive because most people believe the more I hold on, the more I control, the happier I'm going to be. But that's also like a lie.
Yeah. Another tough lie to swallow. And it really is another like big leap of faith to take. Because it's not how we're programmed, right? You know, we're programmed to hold on tight, control. And even, you know, to some degree as a business coach, like it's what I've preached for a long time. Like your outcomes are very attached to the activities that you're doing to get them. And if you're just sitting around hoping or crossing your fingers that things are going to go a certain way, like that's not really going to happen. So there's a little bit of, for me personally, reconciliation I've had to do with those two things because, you know, this year for me has been a lot about relationship building and exactly what you're talking about, like detaching from outcomes and just like meeting people to meet people and having conversations to have conversations. And a lot of doors have been open. There hasn't really been any kind of push for me to open those doors. It's just having the conversations, being who I am, and things have just started to happen. So I guess I'm living it after having a really hard time letting go of it for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it does help to have a process, right? So we do want to have some clarity, which is very different from control, but clarity is a really important thing. So cool. Like in order to have trust, self-trust, it helps to have a process. Like you said, it helps to have a mentor. It helps to have someone who's walked in your steps before that can guide you and lead you. And when you decide and you own that you can create a second chapter that is exciting and fulfilling and you go, you get off that newfound gap and you just jump in and you're like, I'm committing to this. Like you commit to anything else and you go, okay, I'm here for the ride. Let's do it. Like living a courageous life is living a meaningful life because you're stepping off the easy, safe path. It's not for everyone, and I have no judgment for people who want that. But for the people that get this and they're like, you have that thing, they're like, oh, I want to do something, right? Like, you can.
So what are are there like common beliefs that the women who come to you have, or like, is there a list of like the hardest things that they are holding on to or can't let go that you run into just like over and over and over?
Well, yeah. Like, what if I make a mistake? So the limiting belief is like, you know, there's a right and there's a wrong. Right. And if you're holding on to that binary belief about life, black and white thinking, you're probably thinking about it a lot of areas of your life. Your partner is all good or all bad. Your kids are good or they're all bad. Your boss is a jerk or amazing. We're just like, because our brains are meaning making things and it's really hard to live in shades of gray and be curious. So one thing is like, what if I adopted this belief that there were no mistakes, that everything that's happening is happening for me, not to me. So getting out of that, what I call like a victim thinking. Not, believe me, I'm not saying that you sit in the bottom on the corner crying in a puddle. You don't. But if your default thought is, why is this happening to me? Why does nothing ever go my way? Why me? Poor me? Like that really means you need to let go of that. Regret, like letting go of regret and remorse, a really big thing that I work on with people. And also that would never work thinking, or I could never do that thinking. This one, I already know how that's going to happen, how that's going to turn out. No, you don't. I can't tell you how many people that I worked with when we're talking about setting boundaries and they've got their soul map and they realize what's not working at work and they have that clarity and they can go talk to whoever it is about that and take a stand for what they want or start to set some boundaries. I would say like 99% of the time, the person is like, okay, great. Like you're valuable. You're not going to leave, are you? Mm-hmm. And I think that what I've learned from talking to so many people in corporate is that they don't understand that they're valuable and that they do have more power and that if it's not going to work, that there is going to be something that is going to show up or something that will come to them or something they can seek out that's actually going to be a right fit. But I think a lot of people don't understand that from my experience is that people will just keep crapping on you if you keep taking it. Mm-hmm. They're just dishing out the work. They're just asking the people who just keep saying yes to do it because there are always people who say yes. In that way, it's very much like dating. You know, if you get asked what's up at 11 o'clock at night and you start saying, yeah, I'm available, that's what it's going to be like. Because those guys know there's always someone who will start talking to them at 11 o'clock at night, right? So that's who mm-hmm. you are at work. So one of the things is starting to set boundaries and like take agency over your time, your boundaries, what you will and won't do. People are often surprised what happens from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That's a really good point. Are you familiar with conscious leadership, like operating above the line or below the line?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very aligned with like the victim mentality and really just like your perception of things that are happening and are they happening to you or for you? I think that's a really, really powerful tool and a really like powerful mindset shift for people who find themselves often in that like victim mentality, because really it has more to do with the way that you're interpreting things and receiving things than the way that the things are actually occurring.
Yes. One of my favorite activities that anyone could think of or do here, if you're listening, is I have people I put them in partners. So you can do this with yourself. You can journal it. And I say, come up with something that's not going your way in your life. And then tell the story about it. And I've loved doing this live because I'm sitting there and I'm listening to people. They get so amped up. They're like, and then she did this and I said that. And they're just like, you know, get so amped up. And then they do that. And then I go, okay. And I give them like 5 minutes. And honestly, after 5 minutes, when I say time, they are still like 3/4 of the way through the story. They're just creating mm-hmm. this energy of how it's happening to them. Then I say, okay, now share the facts and the facts only of what's going on. Complete neutrality, no emotion. And they're like, Jane comes to work late. Sometimes she doesn't get everything done. That makes me mad. Right. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, well, so what would you, if you were unbiased and someone told you Jane comes to work late and it makes me mad, what are all the things that you would do to try and rectify mm-hmm. the situation when you don't need to be right, when your like little gremlin isn't telling you this, when your childhood wounding of being like not important isn't showing up? And so try that exercise because you will see that like from a neutral, unbiased perspective, when you just look at the facts, if someone else were to bring that situation to you, you'd probably be able to create a lot of different ideas of how you could resolve it. But we get so attached to the drama and being right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ouch.
Exactly. People are like, oh. And literally I give them like a minute and they're done in like 20 seconds. Everyone like mm-hmm. looks up at me and they're like, we're done. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, you're done.
Yeah. So I know we're at time, so I want you to talk a little bit about how people can find you, what working with you looks like, all of that, and more definitely about your book too.
Yeah. I mean, so there's so many ways to find me. So I have a website, marniebatista.com. Marnie is spelled with M-A-R-N-I, Batista is B-A-T-T-I-S-T-A. And I have my book coming out and you can pre-order it on MarnieBatista.com. It's called Your Radical Living Challenge, 7 Questions for Leading a Meaningful Life. So it's awesome. And immediately I have some help in the form of a quiz. Everyone loves a quiz. You did?
Yeah.
What were you?
I'll have to, what are?
It's decodeyourdestinyquiz.com.
Yes.
And it actually asks you questions like low key in form of these 7 spiritual questions about okay. like, are you living a meaningful life? And it categorizes you into an archetype about whether you're actually living a life of meaning. Like, are you literally mm-hmm. on the right track? and it's a reality check.
Yeah.
And also I show you where the areas are that you can grow and change so that I can help you do that. And it's been really fun talking to people who do the quiz, and then they book a call with me and we figure out like the next steps of how we could actually help them live life on their own terms without blowing up the life they have.
Yeah. I'm the settler.
Okay.
Yeah. That was rough to read.
It was. Did it resonate?
It did. Yeah. Probably already knew a lot of it, but yeah, I enjoyed that and the information that I got from it.
That's great. Yeah, because I think for settlers, it's really interesting. Like, people who settle are like avoiders, sometimes people pleasers. And here's the thing. If you've been through a big tragedy or a big trauma and you get over that, you learn these coping skills, and that's amazing. And so everyone... I used to say, like, if you're a settler, the thing is your life doesn't suck as bad as it used to, which is amazing. But also, do you want to thrive or do you just want to survive, right? Like, what's your next big dream? And so it's a really important thing. And then I think I talked about there too, about this idea of time scarcity and time denial, right? Mm-hmm. And some people just are in denial about how much time they have left and they're trying to wait for one day, and settlers are great at like one day. And so my whole thing is make today day one.
Yep. Yes. I think I'm like a recovering settler. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're in action. It's just got to be in action.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Did you have any other, I know I interrupted you because I took your quiz and I liked it. So, and what other resources do you have?
That I have so many. Go to MarnieBatista.com. Okay. There's like, okay. It's brand new, by the way. We're super excited. So there's the Decode Your Destiny quiz. You can pre-order the book. There's a life wheel exercise where you can actually look at your life and look at where the gaps are and then come up with like a plan of action about where you want to start taking some steps based on what's working and what's not working. So it starts you in that life design path. So there's just so many things. You can listen to our podcast, like just come visit. It's an open door.
Awesome. Awesome. I encourage everyone to do that. Marnie is great. Her podcast is great. All of her resources are excellent. And I'm very much looking forward to the book next spring too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for joining. Appreciate you so much. And everyone, have a good rest of your day. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. It's truly an honor to help bring these conversations to you. I do have a couple of quick favors to ask of you. While you're listening to an episode, could you take a screenshot and post that to your Instagram stories and tag me at Life Intended Podcast? Just let me know what your favorite takeaways were or what you liked about the episode. It really helps me to learn more about what you love and want to see more of. And if you have a few extra minutes, if you'd go to iTunes or wherever you listen, I'd love it if you could leave me a rating and review. Ratings and reviews are one of the best ways new listeners can find the show, and I'd love nothing more to grow this and help more people live a life intended. See you again here next week.